Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Man, y'all love y'all some Sports Radio 610. We appreciate that about you. But y'all was casting the mess out of the Sports Radio 610, man.
Messages going through the roof.
Some great ones coming in. Someone mentioned Reggie looks like Tony Rock. I appreciate that. That's funny. But Roy Wood Jr. came in for Figgy late as an answer, which I found to be pretty apt. It was not bad at all.
Eminem for Tyler is a home run. No, seriously.
Man.
Seriously, it's a home run.
Hilarious.
That is perfect for Tyler.
James Gunn was also, or sorry, not James Gunn, Sean Gunn.
Sean Gunn,
mm-hmm. who is very good. And I also said Ron Funches voiced the shark in Suicide Squad. No, he voiced the shark in Harley Quinn, the animated show on Max.
Okay.
So my bad on that. I wanted to clean that up. But now, let's go and get around the NFL on a Football Friday. And Around the NFL is brought to you by Quick Assist, your no-hassle solution, reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's Quickassyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And last night we got some football, baby.
Yeah, we did.
We got some football. How entertaining did you find this football? Because I don't trust my own judgment here. And mind you, it was a 36-24 final in favor of the Niners over the Seahawks, a little divisional game there. But I don't trust my judgment here because I had all three TVs working.
Yeah, I was going back and forth.
I had baseball, I had WNBA finals, and then I had Thursday night football.
He was on that WNBA finals.
Yeah, he was talking about it before the show.
You had me turn to it.
Yeah, he was talking about it before the show. I was like,
but when you turned to it, it was exciting,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Okay, yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Cool. I just wanted to make sure that
I feel bad for him, too, because that was the WNBA finals
game
on on Thursday night football.
They did it to themselves.
And then
they scheduled it.
Yeah, and then the next one is Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday, like middle, like I did three or something. I'm like, okay, what are y'all doing?
Man. But that's let's not get too full of ourselves.
That's
here.
Not what we're talking about at this moment. What we're talking about is this Thursday night football game. But how interesting did you find this one? Because, I mean, obviously I was watching it, but I had a lot of other things.
No, I was flipping back and forth, too. And to answer your question, it got progressively better. I thought it got progressively better. And the biggest reason for that for me was Brock Purdy. And I'm not his PR man. I'm not like a big Brock Purdy fan. I don't consider him, you know, top three or whatever, five quarterbacks in the NFL. When is this dude going to get his due, though? Like he played well in a game that the Niners had to have, you know, and I think he became just actually he has the most. Three touchdowns, zero interceptions. He's done that eight times since 2022. No other quarterback in the NFL has done that. He's gotten progressively better, and I think all this stuff with no McCaffrey and some of the other things going on, I think he's going to start getting the recognition that he probably has deserved for a while now.
Yeah, I think he'll never get the fullness of it because our preconceived notions never fully shake those.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, or sometimes we do. It just takes, becoming what is widely believed to be the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, that's when we shook the, oh, my God, Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think that it needs
took
to be,
a while.
It needs to be that level of thing. But then also, like, I think people came in understanding that Kyle Shanahan builds a system that is really good for his quarterbacks. And then on top of that, they have all
they were stacked. The star players. Stacked.
Now they're missing some of those. Like McCaffrey isn't there as well. But yeah, no, he deserves more credit than probably he's getting.
Yeah,
for sure. Although you look at the stat, and I'm going to undercut it a little bit. You look at the stats, and he did have three touchdowns, no interceptions. The completion percentage wasn't crazy high, 64%.
You take that every day.
But yeah, you definitely take that, especially in the game that you had got there.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith, conversely, though. Not a great look for him in the course of this, and another game in which I don't like doing quarterback wins necessarily. I think that there's better ways to isolate the variable on how a quarterback played than putting the entire win on the quarterback themselves when there's multiple phases of football. However, I think he remains winless in Thursday night games or at primetime games.
Showcase games.
There you go.
Yeah.
57% completion percentage, one touchdown, two interceptions in this. Deep ball thrower, but did not come in. I mean, he had a bad interception early on where he was trying to force it, and ultimately he tried to help this team kind of battle their way back.
Yeah.
But the fumbles late and those types of things really put them at a disadvantage in addition to the less than stellar play from him.
He's been really a victim of when all eyes are on him. You know, the timing is everything. because he's had a terrific. I mean, wasn't he the leading passer in the league going into this week?
Correct. Yards wise, yeah.
Yeah, yards wise. And then he has this, and you're like, nah, I don't know about Geno. I think it's just the timing element with him. But head to head, they had a chance. They had a chance to make a big statement with Geno leading the way and didn't do it. So you do have to take that into consideration.
Yeah, some other things that happened in the course of this was the NFL Replay Command Center looked really foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what happened mm-hmm. here when there was what should have been considered a muff punt that did not get reviewed because the command center admitted afterwards that they just did not have access to camera angles? How in the hell does that happen?
I don't know, because I have last year I was able to go into the replay center at an NFL stadium.
Really?
Yeah, they let me in.
Why?
Because I knew somebody.
Why did they do that?
I was talking to a referee friend of mine, and he goes, "You want to see it?" I was like, "Hell yeah, I want to see it." And here's
out of context. That's crazy. I understand what you're saying.
He goes, "Well, yeah, okay, I see where you're going there."
I didn't have to do that, but I decided to. It's a Friday, baby.
You want to see it? Hell yeah!
Who doesn't? So he took me into the replay command center.
Yeah,
and I might have talked to you about this, Figgy. They have, I believe, 18 camera angles that they can reverse, they can play forward, they can do it in real time, you can see it. So how the hell do they not have that one angle?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Like, they, honestly, and I guess I'll save that for confessions, but Thursday night games, man, I might be over this.
What?
I might be over this as an entire yeah. situation. But, mm-hmm. yeah, that was very frustrating to see. And I don't know exactly why they didn't have that, but especially with as big of a company as the NFL is, mm-hmm. as advanced and all the kind of partnerships that they have with tech companies, and with their TV partners, I don't know how you ended up in a place where you weren't able to do that. Some other things that came through around the NFL. George Pickens was interviewed as players often are during the week after practice.
God, this was brutal.
And buddy, why is he having such a tough time with all these things? Just, Mike Tomlin, who, I mean, a really great coach and usually gets along with his players pretty well, even mm-hmm. though I think he's not a an easygoing coach necessarily.
Yeah,
Mike Tomlin has seemed to kind of be very direct about
he's out.
About him.
It's something about these receivers in Pittsburgh, man. I'm waiting for that documentary.
Yeah, he just always got some knuckleheads up there, don't he?
Yeah.
He always got some knuckleheads in one shape or another. And George Pickens, we already knew he'd be out here with the shiesty and everything. He got that knucklehead on 10, but it showed up in a whole different way here. And Lopez, you want to set this audio up?
Yeah, he looked very, very sincere and contrite, didn't he? No, he didn't. That's a spoiler, but he was asked, listen to the audio. He was asked about a lot of things that he's in the middle of right now.
Earlier this season, you had some questionable penalties called on you. You had some plays just kind of not go your way. Do you feel like you've gotten better at handling that kind of stuff than just dealing with the ebbs and flows of the game?
I wouldn't really say that. That's all on the refs. So that should
not really
show you where the refs are this season.
George, were you aware of the rule about messaging on that 5-black?
Never seen it before. Have you seen it before?
I mean, Cam got fined like some years ago for putting
these guys. Years ago?
Yeah.
When I wasn't in the league, so nah.
Throwing your helmet on the sideline, is that something that is part of being a competitor? Or did you regret that? Do you not want to do that anymore?
Oh, nah. You know, when it's third down and you don't convert, a lot of fans are mad as well.
Jordan Lewis says something going off the field talking about you.
She already asked me that.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, that's enough.
Well, we're done here.
That's my favorite part is when the PR person, all right, guys.
All right, guys.
We are done here. She was like, I see where this is going.
All right, yeah. We're done.
He does not look like he is game for these questions no more. All right, we are done here.
He wasn't game. I mean, to me, the way he looked so dismissive and angry.
Well, he's embattled at this point. I think that is a word that you can use.
He just looked like. It was. You know, we talk about body language and just demeanor and all that stuff. It was the answers to the questions were inexcusable for a guy that is trying to, maybe let people understand where he is. Well, I guess he's not.
Yeah, I was like,
he's not.
You made an assumption there that's where he was coming from. Like, he seemed very much
should try to let people know where he's coming from.
Okay, fair enough.
Was just like, you guys are, lower than, the dirt on the bottoms of my shoes.
I think that it went a little both ways, and I'm not trying to knock those journalists that were asking mm-hmm. questions either, but They were somewhat pointed questions.
Well, they had to be. They don't have access to him.
You know,
he doesn't come around. I in this case, and you know, I'm not apologetic for. I wasn't this week when we were talking about some of these things.
Right.
I'm not apologetic for the journalist at all. That was awful.
No,
by
I'm not
him.
Saying that they're.
That was awful. By
I don't.
Him.
I don't think that apologetic is the way that I'm going. But I think that we should acknowledge that the ways in which a player in that situation might feel like he is under under attack, which I don't think is the right word to use here. That feels way too grandiose, but. Where he like it's a little bit adversarial in that response, mm-hmm. and maybe you need to do a little bit better job of you know kind of tamping down that feeling and that emotion.
Maybe, but
if,
I mean,
if you're already in a place where you're defensive, that puts you in a more of a defensive stance, and that he, that sounded like a dude who was very, very defensive.
And that's why I think it's on him. He just looks awful here. And by the way, Mike Tomlin is just out on him. And that's a good sign.
I think that's why they were trying to get another receiver, man.
Yeah.
I think he probably would have been part of the package.
Well, maybe, but they need another receiver just to have another wide receiver. Like, George Pickens is the only one, and I don't know that he exists as a wide receiver one type player necessarily. Mm-hmm. So they need another wide receiver anyways. But, yeah, man, that this only makes it tougher. And it's funny because you're right. It comes in a long, well, maybe not a long line, but a line of kind of knucklehead wide receivers. I bet Mike Tomlin. Although he does not shy away from the opportunity to coach and like really, mm-hmm. you know, the tough situations, he didn't run away from those. But I bet he's definitely acknowledging that this is not the easiest coaching situation that he has. Shout out to George Pickens.
Well, okay. That's one way to put it. That's one way to put it.
Vaya con Dios, brother. Go with God. All right. Some other news around the NFL. This is something that honestly I had forgotten was happening. You remember how the Jets traded for a pass rusher and he never showed up to work?
Yeah.
Hassan Reddick, former Philadelphia Eagle, then became New York Jet, right? He couldn't get his contract done in Philly, and the Jets were like, we'll take him if y'all want to get away from him. Mm-hmm. And they took him, and they have not been able to figure out the contract, at least to Hassan Reddick's liking. And so he is legitimately sitting out. And I guess his agents at CAA, Creative Artists Agency, they've parted ways with him, which makes me wonder if he is the one that's being just completely unreasonable.
I don't think you should wonder. I mean, the key verbiage here is they parted ways with him. A lot of times when a player parts ways with the agent, it's because they feel they've gotten information or they've discussed with other agents, you know, we can do this. We can get he wants to get that better deal. They're like, we've tried.
Yeah.
They're like, we're out. We tried.
And if you're just going to throw the money away, what are we doing here?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of wild that he's gotten to this place, and I just wonder, what does he actually want, right? Because that's the essence of a negotiation. You try and figure out what the other side wants and see if you can appease that as much as possible within the realm of possibility. Saying that as someone who does not really do a lot of negotiations, take it with a grain of salt, but I imagine that that's what you're working with. But I don't even actually understand what he wants.
I don't know if he does. I think part of it is like his agents probably already had what they felt was a good enough deal.
Sure.
You know, to get him done.
But I think as an agent, you understand. Some clients are like, no, this is a matter of respect, principle, or whatever. And you go, okay, we'll see if we can make that happen. But even in fighting for it, right, it seems like they got to a certain point where it's like, there's no appeasing him in this. And I just don't know what Hassan Reddick wants, because the way that these things are structured and set up within the rules is so that you lose money in a big way to the point where it's like, all right, this becomes prohibitive, right?
Yes.
This is no longer worth it for him. But that is not moving him.
No.
Right, so I don't even know, like, if it's money that he's looking for, you're going in the complete wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
If it's respect, I don't know what the additional respect is going to be that you can get from this situation. Is he ready to be done playing football?
I mean, maybe that's part of it. You know, he's like, screw it, I'm gonna ask for this, and I want this, and I don't care if I get fined, et cetera. I don't think so, but you never know.
Okay, well, shout out, more power to him as well as he tries to figure out what's happening there. Continuing around the NFL, one more note that at least I have, which is in regards to Monday Night Football. So Troy Aikman appeared on Pardon My Take, that podcast, and he was talking about how, you know, the matchups have been better on Monday Night Football, and one of the reasons is because the NFL now allows, like, the flexing for Monday Night. And so last year marked the first time that they started doing that. But a change could possibly be coming because the NFL can't use the Monday Night Flex until week 12.
Yeah.
And it might be possible that we're seeing that, you know, the NFL gives themselves an opportunity to flex more games for Monday Night Football.
Bring it on.
You like this situation?
Big time. The example that they used is, you know, week 13 right now, Monday night. is Broncos and Browns.
Gross. keep me and my family away from that.
So, yes, I'm in favor of flexing the Monday night games. Absolutely. And they said they might do a couple, right, this year. Now, I don't know what other one might be in play that is kind of looking like a stinker. But before you go on, I don't think they're going to flex to the Texans. That's when they play Jacksonville. So, I don't know if that's how much better that's going to be.
Fair enough.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, they'll look at his division game, but I don't know how much better off the Jags look. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least you would get the Texans on national TV instead of the Broncos and the Browns.
Yeah.
But, I just found that to be interesting. More opportunities to have.
Don't you?
Good prime time. Yeah, probably. Yeah. But the thing that sometimes happens with that, especially as we have more and more games away from Sundays, mm-hmm. is that the Sunday slate kind of gets a little watered down. And I know for me personally, last season, there was quite a few times where I looked at the Sunday slate and I was like, this actually isn't that mm-hmm. good, but it's a whole bunch of it. So we're going to watch it.
I think that's what makes up for it. You know, there's always the red zone. There's always the red zone.
God, the NFL's got us wrapped around their fingers. All right. So around the NFL here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you guys. Getting involved. Someone said Keenan Thompson for Figgy as we were
still going.
We were casting.
Still going.
But they did point out a critical error on my part, which is I did not cast the night show. I did not cast Area 45.
Oh.
And so I'll raise my hand. That mea culpa. That is on me. I apologize. Maybe we'll circle back around and do some of that and see who would play Creighton and Bajani if we did have some level of a movie. Somebody said Steve Buscemi could play Tyler. Don't do that.
No, you can't beat Eminem. That's it.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, no, Eminem as Tyler is it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is the word from John P. Lopez. All right. Coming up next, let's get into the matchups of this meeting between the Texans and the Patriots. What are you most looking forward to between these two teams? 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
That's right, you're In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, Figgy, myself, Reginald Adatula, as we gear up and get ready for Texans-Patriots. That'll be Sunday, 12 noon. 9 a.m. is when the pregame starts right here on Sports Radio 610 with Michael Chiklis. And Vince Vaughn, just kidding, with Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. Okay, cool. I every time I say their names, I stop because I'm like, I'm going to mess this up. And then I mess it up because I'm thinking about messing it up. And then Clint Sterner and Sean will finish this thing up after the game, wrap it up, give you reaction, interview with a player, all those fine things that you're used to on the home of your Texans, Sports Radio 610. But it's a Football Friday. We're getting ready for that game. And so what are the matchups within this game that we're pretty confident that the Texans handle up business in?
Which one could be trouble?
What are the matchups that maybe could be trouble?
For me.
All right.
Is how I'm looking at it.
Okay. I like that as a framework.
You know, the other day I called Derek Stingley maybe the second best cornerback in the league behind Patrick Surtain. It might be Christian Gonzalez, too. That dude is really, really good.
He's only allowed 4 completions on 16 targets, further than 10 yards down the field.
Yeah.
He does not allow a lot happening when they go to, when it goes to him. So that is absolutely one of those things. I don't know exactly how they'll match up though. Cause I don't know.
Well, I don't know if he's going to travel.
Right.
But, you know, Stephon Diggs, that's where I'm going with this. You know, Stephon Diggs has to have a big game, has to be able to step into that number one role. He's done it a million times, et cetera. But Christian Gonzalez, give me those numbers again for the season for him.
He's allowed 4 catches on 16 targets on and passes over 10 air yards.
And he's faced Ja'Marr Chase, DK Metcalf, Garrett Wilson, Brandon Ayuk, and Tyreek Hill.
Tough.
Like, He's the real deal. He might be he is their best player, but he might be their biggest threat in this game. And he could cause problems, especially as we talked about at the top of the hour, at the top of the show, that he's, you know, Xavier Hutchinson has to step up a little bit. We know that. Tank Dell, Christian Gonzalez and Stephon Diggs, man.
All right, so if there's anybody that you trust to break this team down, it's Nick Caserio. He's gotten really a lot of shine for these breakdowns that he does. This is how he evaluated the Patriots defense that you're going to see.
They certainly have a number of things that they do well, starting defensively. Like, they're a good team on defense, good front, multiplicity of fronts, and they have a lot of hybrid-type players, if you will, kind of working back to front. We look at guys like Mapu and Jabril Peppers and Kyle Duggar, safety, kind of linebacker, hybrid, but they can do multiple things well. Have a really good corner in Christian Gonzalez. I mean, matchup corner, he's really one of the better corners in the league. And then they kind of mix and move in between a nickel and a perimeter with Jonathan Jones, who's played inside over the course of his career. Jonathan was a really good kicking game player early in his career. And then Marcus Jones is kind of their slot corner, nickel corner. Houston kid, who's also, he factors into the return game as well. He's their punt returner. So the secondary, kind of the back half, you know, some hybrid players, but a lot of younger players, but do have experience in the front. Bunch of big guys inside, starting with Godshaw, Equale, guys like that. Keon White, I would say, is one of the better players on defense. He's very versatile. Yep. Lines up at outside linebacker, lines up at defensive end, rushes from the inside, but he's big, he's long, he's athletic. Yep. He can rush the passer, he can pressure the quarterback, really good player. Uche is a good pass rusher. So they get kind of contributions from a number of different players on the edge. And linebacker, they've kind of had to some turnover there because of the injuries. Yep. So Bentley's on IR. McMillan's been in and out. Tavai's been kind of a steadying presence there. So it's kind of a collection of players that can line up in multiple spots. Younger players who have kind of grown up and developed in the system. They do a good job. They're, you know, good against the run. They don't give up a lot of explosive plays, and they've been able to take the ball away.
All right. I mean, it's a lot of guys that kind of do various things, but the ones that notable for me, Christian Gonzalez, Kyle Duggar also, he's been on the injury report. He did not practice on Wednesday. He was a limited participant yesterday, so it'll be interesting to see what the practice report looks like again. I imagine he plays. But yeah, he mentions also Josh Uche. Uche is a good player. Other than that, like, I hear what he's saying.
They don't have a great defense, if we're being honest.
But I don't view, and you know, you have to be positive and look at the ways in which they can play well. And
of course, Christian Gonzalez is the real deal.
Yeah. Other than that, I'm not particularly worried about a lot of what they do when it comes to, especially like efficiency and these types of things. Mm-hmm. They're not top half in really anything. You should be able to get some things done in various different ways against this Patriots defense,
yeah.
And I expect them to, in fact.
Other matchups, and I want to hear yours, Stevenson did not participate again yesterday.
That is correct. Ramondre did not practice again on their team.
So he could well be out, and that might make this point moot, but there, as I mentioned yesterday, their run game is not too bad. Their run game has had some success. So how is that going to stack up against the Texans defensive line that has shown some susceptibility?
Yeah, now the problem is their offensive line is in tatters.
Exactly.
Like, they've had a lot of injuries. But when it comes to like the actual back, Ramondre Stevenson is a tough physical runner. And then also Antonio Gibson. He has been a nice runner this season. He might have more juice than Ramondre has, and that's saying something considering I think I have a lot of respect for Ramondre Stevenson. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to like those actually dudes toting the rock, that'll be interesting if you can corral them. But I think that this is going to be linebackers and defensive line interior against that running game, and seeing if you can completely take away and neutralize the one thing that I could probably look at as a benefit that they seem to have. And even then, like, I don't know that they're incredible at it. It's just when you don't have a lot of things to lean on, that one pops up. It's one of the things I say in basketball in particular.
Mm-hmm.
You notice how When you have a player who does not have anything that they do particularly well, we start calling him a defense specialist because we just got to point to something. We got to say something nice about everybody.
He's a competitor.
Yeah, exactly. I do wonder if that ends up being kind of the thing that we
guy
point to.
Guy just competes, man.
Yeah, if we point to when it comes to the Patriots.
Can't score, can't rebound, can't pass, but he competes.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what about you?
Really, I think the big one I'm looking at is Drake May, the mobility versus the defensive line, particularly the edges. Like, can you keep him bottled up? Because once you do that, I think that you're going to be on smooth sailing. Honestly, I think that this offense is going to be it struggled to put up points. I mean, they had a 15-10 victory over, or sorry, the Dolphins had a 15-10 victory over them. Like, that was a rough game, and that was against who exactly throwing a football? Snoo Huntley. Like, this offense has not put up a lot of points. Now they'll try and make it tough on a different team, but this Texans offense, if they are humming the way that they have the possibility to, should not have issues.
They should not have issues.
There's not a lot of matchups that I'm really all that concerned with. I think that for me, it has largely been a lot of looking at looking at this Texans team and saying, how do you handle your own? Mm-hmm. This might be
it's absolutely true.
Very, very little to do with matchups in this
game. But kind of as an extension to your matchup there with Drake May, I'm interested. Like, Alex Van Pelt, their offensive coordinator, is catching heat, as well he should. You just talked about how their offense has not done much. It's going to be interesting to see if he has anything, you know, ready with Drake May, a little more mobile guy, a lot more mobile guy, a little bigger arm, and how Matt Burke and D'Amico Ryans match up with whatever it is that Alex Van Pelt. I don't mean to be that guy, but I don't see it as like a big worry. But it is going to be interesting to see, if you're talking about matchups, how Alex Van Pelt utilizes Drake May in the running game, et cetera.
You want to see how Nick Caserio characterized the offense for the Patriots? Well, this is how he did it.
And offensively, I would say the two best players are really the backs, really, Gibby and Ramondre Stevenson. Stevenson is as good of a back there is, well-rounded, good balance, good body control, strong, tough, good player in a passing game, signing Gibson in the offseason, who kind of is a change of pace guy. He's got some speed. Jacoby's done a good job. Jacoby hasn't turned the ball over, right? So he hasn't given it to the other team. I think their turnover margin, they're in the top 10 in terms of just the overall margin, so they haven't given it away, they've taken it away. So two good backs, good tight end, and Hunter Henry, who's very reliable. And then a receiver, have a number of young players who they're kind of working through some things with. But, you know, Pop Douglas is a really good player, played well as a rookie, getting born back. So in that offensive line, they've just had a number of players in there because of injuries. So they're just trying to kind of piece it together there. But number of things that they do well, they run the ball really well. Offensively, they don't turn the ball over. And defensively, they kind of give you multiplicity of looks. They have good players. They've been in 3-1 score games. So went to overtime with Seattle, went beat Cincinnati, and then kind of came down to the wire there against Miami last week. So it's a good football team. So we're going to have to go up there with the right mindset and be ready to go.
That's all nice, Nike.
Boy, he tried, didn't he? He really tried.
How crazy is it that this is coming from the GM?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
this is crazy. Like, for a minute, I'm thinking, like, okay, this is an offensive coach or a defensive, somebody on the coaching staff. No, this is the general manager.
My man is scouting. They talk about, pro scouting. He is pro scouting. He knows what they are doing.
I put him against any GM.
100%.
And he's got that coaching gene, man. He just loves to do it. But, you know, boy, he put a spin on that.
He sure did. Yeah,
that sounded – I want him to be able to sell me.
They run the football well.
I'm a little nervous now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
About offense.
Can I get him to write my profile and biography? Because I feel like it would go well. Yeah.
Like, he goes, working through some things. Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Yeah, man.
That's one way to put it.
So just to illustrate what we're talking about here and where my lack of concern comes up with any of these matchups, you talked about, they run the ball well. You know, one of my favorite stats.
What's that?
EPA.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to EPA per rush, like running the football, the Patriots, guess where they rank out of 32 teams in the NFL this season?
I don't think it's higher than about 28, 29.
24.
Oh, okay.
So a little bit higher.
A little bit higher.
Because they're good at running the football, right?
Well, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the offensive line is not good. Ramondre Stevenson's working through some injury. If it's just Antonio Gibson versus the Texans defense, I think that they'll have some issues.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Texans already getting themselves ready for this matchup. They're practicing already, and Joe Mixon, indeed, out on the field again, which...
All right.
Does that bode... That feels like that should bode well for...
Let's have this conversation on Sunday.
I'm telling you, I think he's playing, man.
I'm trying, Figgy. I'm trying to leave the possibility and the openness within my heart of him playing football this weekend.
We'll see you on Sunday.
if it's a question, you think that you should sit him or play him?
If it's a question? No, yeah. you sit him if it's a question. Okay. I don't think it's going to be a question.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Let's talk more about Joe Mixon as we get into what's popping. We'll talk about all the things that are interesting around sports. We'll do that next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into what's popping here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610 on a football Friday. And you know, when it comes to the football, we are all super excited and, you know, looking forward to Texans Patriots in New England on Sunday. Right now, the team is out there practicing outside, of course, because they'll be playing outside for the first time this season at Gillette Stadium. And there's news. So Aaron Wilson yesterday said that sources had told him that Robert Woods probably wouldn't play in this game. And it's looking like that's going to be the case, because Robert Woods is not practicing today. Damian Pierce is practicing today. Jimmy Ward is not practicing today. So you're getting a good amount of Eric Murray, Kalen Bullock at practice. Mario Edwards not dressed for practice today. So that's another one. And although, are you concerned at all about that? Because Settle and Khalil Davis have
no, done they've a good had job their moments there. But Mario Edwards from first day of camp has been very much in the mix. And they're thin already at that position because of the suspension, which, of course, after this week with Danico Autry, he should be back. No, absolutely. Mario Edwards has been a pretty big part of it. Let me ask you this, though, because, you know, the Robert Woods thing, clearly he's not going to play.
All
signs are that he's not going to play. What's the return game going to look like?
You have a lot of options. Let's go through that first.
Yeah.
Now, just on punt situation, I know I saw Houston Stresses on Twitter. The return of Tank Dell punting. Any chance that you feel good about the punt return there?
That's why I asked. I don't see that's off the table.
Desmond King obviously is now comes into play. Maybe he gets some level of return there. Who else have you? I mean, Damian Pierce looks like he's going to play. So at least on kick return,
but he's been more of a kick guy. He's been more of a kick return guy. Do we get the return of Steven Sims?
Yeah, maybe he gets activated again and gets the opportunity to get some shine there.
Yeah, and
someone on the text line feels real hot about the opportunity of the John Metchie breakthrough. They said, well, Wild Football prediction, John Metchie kick return touchdown.
No, not going to happen.
You don't think he takes any returns?
He hadn't taken reps that I've seen.
I think he took some...
Kickoff. Wasn't it kickoff?
I think early on in camp.
Yeah.
Remember, it was early on, and we was like, oh, is he playing special teams?
I was more focused on punt returns at this point. But yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think
so. They would have been did that.
Yeah. They would
have. They had Robert Woods back there, man.
They did. They had Robert Woods. Well, you know, he's reliable, but...
No, and don't forget, Robert Woods a veteran. I do wonder if they were trying to make sure to give him opportunities to do things.
Yeah. And don't downplay the special teams here. It's been sort of erratic. Not awful, not great. You know, just kind of erratic.
Man, what's up with the punter, man?
Punter. Yeah, Tommy Townsend.
You know, Frank Ross was asked about that. Kind of went full Nick Caserio. Nothing to see here. He's doing more than fine.
Like, well, you know, just circumstances kind of put you in that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Cam Johnston up too, man.
Yeah, well, where is he? I saw him. But anyway, that is the first thing that jumps out with today's practice report. We'll get to the running backs, but also Kamari Lassiter not practicing.
Yes, and within that, Aaron Wilson has pointed to the idea that D'Angelo Ross has gotten a lot of work with the first team.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it might be D'Angelo Ross being the first man up to be the opposite corner. I don't know. What was that noise there, Fig? And yeah, Ocho, good question. Is it smart to put Tank on punts now that Nico is out? No,
I think that's in play.
I don't think that's in play. It might be in play, but I don't know if that's the best idea, especially seeing as he's wide receiver two at this moment, fully.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that's all things that we're getting from camp. Some other things into what's popping. Joe Mixon actually talked a little bit about the hip drop tackle that has had him miss all this time. You know, that is what... Yeah, aggravated the ankle and has had him miss all this time, and he does not seem very happy about the fact that did not really garner very much of a punishment.
Joe Mixon?
I don't think he grabbed the audio for you there.
Oh, okay. That's no big deal. But he called it, quote, a weak-ass hip drop tackle. and he's right. It was weak. But the thing that really jumps out at me at this is that put a really good running back on the shelf for, what is it, 4 weeks?
Yeah.
You know, given where they were in the second game of the season and he went out in that game. That dude, TJ Edwards, got fined $16,000 for that. $16,000 for a hip drop tackle that sends one of the best running backs in the league to the bench for a month. Maybe longer, although I think he's going to play. We'll certainly find out. As opposed to like C.D. Lamb doing the thumbs up first down signal, he got fined $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to Jameson Williams dunking the football, got fined $14,000.
Yes.
Derek Carr channeled Michael Jackson and did the little leg kick and the thrust, he got fined $14,000. So the NFL is telling us that putting a guy on the shelf with an illegal tackle is about in the same neighborhood as dancing like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, man, this is we're never going to be happy when we start looking at it like this, because the NFL has never been very congruent with their punishments. You know, like it's one of those things that happens whenever you see the number of game suspensions or games that a player is suspended. Yeah. when, there's domestic violence versus gambling, right? When we do that, it's like, well, this guy missed 4 weeks. You yeah. set that guy off for the whole season, right? The NFL is not congruent in these ways. And the thing that is most frustrating is they supposedly had an emphasis on this. That's the big
exactly
thing. Like, this is supposedly an emphasis. Is it or is it not? Is that something that they're walking back to some degree?
And the other part of this is what you're talking about is off the field stuff. This is on the field, on camera.
Sure.
On the field, on camera.
Agree.
Point of emphasis about the hip drop tackle. It was a classic. Perfectly executed. You could put it in a film and send it to teams around the league and say, "Don't do this." And the dude got fined $16,000. And then all of a sudden, I think
it just got to happen to a quarterback. If it happened to like Patrick Mahomes or something like that,
well, then
they'd make a big deal out of it.
That's wrong. No, I get it. I'm not saying you're wrong with that, but I think that's wrong.
Yeah, it is.
So some other news that we're looking at across sports and what's popping. This actually just showed up moments ago, honestly, or maybe about an hour ago, I guess. Jordan Mason, who was the running back for the Niners, he obviously played last night in a victory over the Seahawks. He's actually the NFL's leading rusher, and he's believed to have suffered an AC joint injury, supposedly not considered serious, but he's going to have to go under some more testing.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if they lose him as well? That was my immediate thought. I was like, oh, can the Niners sustain another injury like that? Because, I mean, this is probably best case scenario on next man up in that situation without Christian McCaffrey. What happens if that is not as unserious as they are seeming to believe?
Well, we're going to find out how good Brock Purdy is. we're about to find out.
But they usually do pretty well when it comes to running the rock. They put anybody back there, and they usually do decent.
Yeah, but that's risky.
Because nobody was talking about this guy at the beginning of the season.
You know, we've heard that multiple times. Oh, you know, this blocking scheme, you can put anybody in there. There have been cases where relative nobodies, you know, have excelled. There have been a lot more cases where they haven't. You know, and we can look at our team here, you know, in some of those examples.
Yeah. Some other things that are popping. At least it was real popping for me. And if you like hoop, yesterday was a real fun day. You might not have known WNBA game one of their finals began yesterday between the New York Liberty and the Minnesota Lynx. And if you were watching it all the way through, you might have thought, man, this game is getting out of hand. I don't need to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Within the final 5 minutes, the Lynx were down 15 points. They walked the Liberty down. They ultimately took the lead. Liberty needed a foul late in the game and two free throws to put them tied. In fact, Breonna Stewart, who is probably the best player on the Liberty, had an opportunity to win the game. She misses the last free throw. They go to overtime, and then it gets even spicier. You play through overtime, and then Breonna Stewart, they're down two. They have an opportunity. She has an opportunity to drive the lane and make a layup. Right-hand layup on the left side, and mm-hmm. she smokes it.
Oh, in a good way?
No, in a bad way.
Oh, man.
And so the New York Liberty, a team who has been pretty good in the history of the WNBA, mm-hmm. but has never won a WNBA Finals, loses game one of the best of five series at home. And one of the best images of it is Spike Lee sitting on the sideline.
Oh, he goes to all of them.
Dejected.
Yeah.
I was about to say, did somebody do the choke sign?
Somebody should have.
Man, that would have been great.
Spike Lee, I think his body is like 76% sports disappointment.
Always.
Yeah.
He just has that slump.
He's got to be a Yankees fan, right? He's a Yankees fan, right?
Got to be.
Like, so at least there's some not as much disappointment there, but mm-hmm. there's a lot of sports disappointment.
I feel like he's a Mets fan.
Is he a Mets fan?
Seinfeld is a Mets fan.
Yeah, Seinfeld's definitely a Mets fan.
He goes to all the games. He was going nuts yesterday, which, of course... Mets move on.
Yeah. Mets move on as well. That's one of the other things that's going on is the baseball continues, and we have another CS mm-hmm. Contender booked up. Two of the four spots have been solidified as the Mets beat the Phillies. And so they move on. Actually, no, the Yankees-Royals game was the one that was last night, was it not?
Yeah. Yankees won last night. Gerrit Cole, baby.
3-1, yeah.
I mean, he was nails.
Familiar with that guy, huh?
Yeah, I don't like him at all. You know how I was talking yesterday and I got some crap about cheering the player? I ain't cheering this player.
You rather cheer for the Dodgers over Gerrit Cole, man?
No, don't put that out there again. I was cheering for Ohtani. You will not catch me cheering for Gerrit Cole. He's a representative of myself. after he left, like literally moments after the Astros got eliminated.
Well, he was a little upset about the loss.
Yeah, well, he probably a little upset about not getting in the game.
Yeah, he should have got in the game, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, so the Yankees are the first in the ALCS. They might be joined by either the Tigers or Guardians. They go to that deciding game five. They'll play that on Saturday. They'll play that tomorrow, 7:08 p.m. But the big one.
Spicy, as you
tonight,
like to put it.
Yeah, both of these spicy. Game five. Padres-Dodgers tonight to see who will.
Lopez team.
Oh, man, come on.
Yeah, Lopez. We know who you're pulling for.
Let's go, Dodgers.
That one is tonight. I know you're going to have that one pulled up on the phone tonight.
Yeah, watching on this boat.
Oh, man.
You'll get Yu Darvish versus Yamamoto, which is a fun matchup on the mound as well. Yeah. Playoff baseball has been fun, although if you look
y'all are making it less fun for me.
If you look at the final four, the potential final four that you get, or the final six, I guess, that are still alive, are any of these teams, like, would you be happy to see win?
Detroit, if they get there.
But only them. That's only one of the final six that you're excited about?
You know what? Maybe the Mets, just because of the story. Not the Yankees, not the Dodgers, although I would be happy for Ohtani.
I do not want to see Yankees and Mets in the World Series at all.
God, can you imagine?
Goodness, man.
Oh, Subway Series?
Yeah, these New Yorkers, man. Oh, my God. It's going to be an East Coast love fest.
It's going to be so annoying.
Goodness gracious. I'd rather have Dodgers than Yankees, to be honest.
Yeah.
At least it's L.A. versus New York.
Yeah. And probably the most likely if you're handicapping it, right?
Gross. Yeah, I mean, those would be the one seeds, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Playoff baseball still going on. Oh, man. We're getting closer to. I'm funny enough, I just can't find a team that I feel like super great
How
about.
How have you been watching
like
this?
Maybe the Padres. I've just been keeping them on, man.
I would probably say Detroit.
I'm kind of in with Detroit as far as the team. I like the Mets story, you know, just because where they were and where they are now.
Well, I was rooting for the Mets, not this year, but the last year, because I really want anything that's going to make owners look up and say, hey, we can spend money and it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted them to be like, hey, we put all this money on the table and then get success for the team.
Yeah, but
like,
then
put money on the table, baby. Yeah. Put money on the table.
Yeah. Yankees, absolute no. Dodgers, only Ohtani. I'm really pulling for him. Stop it, Figgy. But we'll see. As far as teams, Detroit probably.
I would like to see the Guardians. Like, even taking my background out of that,
yeah.
But just them being, I guess, almost there
mm-hmm.
and never got it for real.
Yeah.
I would like to see them. Yeah. I'd like to see the first timers.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm leaning Padres right now. I think that's where I'm at. But I don't really feel all that passionate about it. It's just good baseball.
That would be cool because they traded Juan Soto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did they have one?
Tatis
Yeah. And get to a World Series and win it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be a good look.
That would be cool. All right. So that's what's popping here around sports and in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. All right. It's a football Friday. So let's get back to the football of it all. The coordinators talked, and particularly Bobby Slowick, obviously, is always the headline. You got a little bit of an air of.
A little bit.
I don't know. Something that felt a little wrong. Let's revisit some of the audio from Slowick and see if you also feel what Lopez was feeling. We'll do that next.